that we're doing on preparing for change. And we've been looking at this idea that change is always going on, and that we're in a time of great planetary change, and probably your life is shifting, and we're 2 days away from when fall begins. We're in the Jewish High Holy Days right now, so there's lots of good energy. But part of going through the idea of change and being conscious of change is that we can learn how, first of all, to stand in the changeless, especially when things are shifting under your feet, and especially when you don't like them shifting under your feet. It's a good idea to learn how to stand in the changeless reality that is God, and also the changeless reality of your own wholeness, because there's nothing that can happen that takes from your wholeness. You were born whole, you are whole now, you always will be whole, and that's a good place to stand. But the other thing that we can do, and it's more of the focus for tonight, is that we can actually harness the forces of change for our own benefit. And 2 weeks ago, we did a visioning session. And for if you were here, I invited everyone who was here to welcome or to think of the highest idea for their life. And then the second question is always, and what must I become? And so that idea is that we can always claim a greater something and begin to welcome it in our becoming. But there's another question in the visioning process, and that is, and what must I release? In other words, what do I need to get out of the way so that I actually can become the place and the space where the highest idea for my life can be realized? So it's really powerful to welcome in something new, and that's part of change, and that's part of our philosophy, that we can always have a higher idea about our life. But it's equally powerful to let go of something that is in the way of the new coming in, letting go of that which is part of another time, that is the person you used to be, that is something that no longer serves you. And so it's actually on the letting go part of change that we want to focus tonight. And the idea is that in the letting go, you make a home in your heart for the thing that you desire. You make a home in your heart for the thing that you desire. And it is by letting go that we actually create the space for something new to come in. Otherwise, things have a tendency to kind of pile up. And, you know, we don't always take naturally to the letting go part. There is a natural cycle in life. And things go from birth to growth to fullness to maxing. And then there's a natural decline or falling off and a distillation by things come to something we might call leastness or smallness. And somehow in that little bit of leastness, there is a reimagination or a recreation, and then birth begins again. The rebirth happens. And so to stay alive and fresh, all things move through that kind of cycle. We see it in the natural world. It naturally happens in relationships that stay vibrant through time. We can see it in our own times of recreation. If you've ever been through that, boy, as a minister, I have recreated myself so many times. Maybe not so much on the outside, but really a lot on the inside. And there's something natural about that, that all things move through cycles. At the same time, energy itself loves to move. If we could see things at the quantum level, all we would see is space and energy moving. So energy loves to move, but sometimes we make energy be stuck. Or, as I love to say, am I the only one? If we were happy, healthy beings, I think that we would flow through all of the changes in the cycles easily and joyfully. We would be in the flow. We would birth when it's time to birth, and we would grow when it's time to grow, and we would max out our expression, and then we would let things decline a little bit and come to a small place of recreation and then birth all over again. But it's interesting that we in the Western world love to hold on to the birth, growth, maximum phase. We love everything at its zenith, right? Everything at the peak. And sometimes we get a good moment and we try to hold on to that forever. We get something wonderful and we never want it to change. And so we have an interesting kind of holding on behavior, and anything that we hold on to when it's actually time for that to go ends up being an energy blockage for us. We actually stop the free flow of energy. And so I want to invite you to look at not only your holding on behavior, but the results of it, because we can hold on to conclusions of the past, to emotional reactions, to old ideas, to people, places, and things, and of course to physical stuff. Physical stuff that we don't love, that we don't use, and that doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. Do you have homes with stuff like that in them? And so I invite you to look at holding on for this talk and the results of that, and consider it both internally and also externally. I got very sensitized to the idea of what blocks energy flow and the kinds of things that need to be completed or to be let go of in 1985 when I was about to be ordained by Terry Cole Whitaker. And what a long time ago. And Terry gave those of us who were about to be ordained a vicious little sheet called the Integrity Checklist. And I call it vicious only because it tends to bring one to look at one's life in many ways. And the intention of this sheet, integrity, does not mean anything moral. It's integrity in the sense of wholeness, like the integrity of a design or the integrity of the hull of a ship. And this was a checklist to see to support those of us who are about to be ordained in coming into wholeness in all areas of our life, so that we could meet the ordination moment actually in the present moment instead of dragging a bunch of old stuff from the past behind us. Do you know what I mean? And so I happened to print off this sheet. I have one if somebody wants it. I can email it to you. But I want to share with you the kinds of things that were on the sheet, and I invite you to notice where you go unconscious. because it's overwhelming. I'll just say that. This is the disclaimer. It's overwhelming. Deliver any undelivered communications, like letters to be written, acknowledgments to be given, broken promises to be acknowledged, lies to be cleaned up, anything hidden or held secret that needs to be communicated. That's only the beginning. Resolve any broken agreements, resolve any upsets in life. Completely clean living space. Clean car thoroughly, clean purse and or wallet, clean office space thoroughly. Clean out and organize personal files. Complete any incomplete work on the desk. Fix or get rid of anything that does not work. Throw or give away anything that you do not use or wear. Balance your checkbook. Pay bills or make arrangements with creditors. Is that the unconsciousness point? Organize financial records, pay any taxes due, and put tax records in order. Collect and pay any money owed. Return anything borrowed and receive back anything lent. Handle or prepare to handle anything that abuses spirit, mind, or body. We're almost at the end. Bring into primary relationships any needed agreements or ground rules which support you. Complete any broken agreements with institutions like traffic tickets. And then I added this one, let everyone who is important to me know that I love them. And so all of these things are incompletes in many ways. And it's an opportunity to look in our lives and see where our incompletes are or where we are holding on to stuff that actually needs to be released, because right there we lose energy. Right there our energy goes away from being available in the present moment into our thoughts about what really needs to be done, but we're trying to pretend it isn't there. Do you know what I mean? Okay, nobody's admitting it. It's about completing incompletes and reestablishing order, and order is the first law of heaven. Now, you might be thinking, did she really get all of that done before she was ordained? The answer is no, I didn't. But I did do a lot of it. And what it actually did was it sensitized me now to the point where if things are incomplete or need to be fixed or are stockpiled in my home in piles of unconsciousness, I really notice it. and I can only stand it for so long. And then I have to do the work to take care of it. I've had a gate that has been decomposing in my home by termites for a couple of years now. I just had it fixed the other day, a brand new gate. It's so beautiful. It's integrity. It's a wholeness. It's wholeness. Anything that needs to be handled that isn't handled blocks your energy flow. And I know that piles of paper in my home are my unconsciousness, because there are things that have come in the mail or things that I've generated, and I don't want to deal with it, and so I put it in the pile, and I say I'll deal with that later. And fortunately, I can only take it so long, and then I have to do the painstaking work of picking up one sheet at a time and looking at it and saying, does this need to be filed in the file cabinet or filed in the round file on the floor? Because if I wait long enough, most of it's obsolete, and I can just kind of throw it away. So the thing is, I love order. I just don't practice it all the time. And I used to be married to somebody who was extremely meticulous and balanced. When the mail came, all the papers were handled. He always unpacked after a trip immediately. My suitcase can sit there for a week, you know, maybe not quite that long. He was able to work at a desk where there were no drawers because he was such an effective worker that he had the pile that he was working on, and that was it. He didn't have to stuff anything in drawers. To say there was a contrast there between us was a minor thing to say. But anyway, my style is I love to mess up and then I clean up. So I always restore order, but I love the freedom of making messes. So that's my particular style. So I want to introduce you to the concept of clutter busting, and it comes out of this book called Clutter Busting Your Life by Brooks Palmer. And I liked his introduction to this book that I wrote. His first book was called Clutter Busting, Letting Go of What Holds You Back. And you might think about all the piles or the things undone as the very things that hold you back from the truest expression of your life. In his first book, he had a great line. He says, you are sacred, your stuff isn't. So you are sacred, your stuff isn't. And he says in his introduction to the book I read that he thought he had covered pretty much the subject of clutter in one's home and in external environment. But he noticed that his clients kept talking to him about relationships, that either they didn't want to visit a friend or a relative who had a cluttered home, or that they were being given things they didn't want but didn't feel that they could give them away, or they had been given furniture from somebody who was deceased and they felt like they couldn't get rid of that. And he realized that underneath all of it, there were conflicted emotions. And so he started to look at relationships, at our relationships with ourselves, our relationships with other people, and to appreciate the conflicted emotions that are internal clutter. And so clutter for you in your life is anything that causes a loss of connection with yourself or with others. And whenever there is something piled up somewhere or incomplete, it will tend to separate you from yourself or other people and generate a loss of joy. At least that seems true to me. So you could think of clutter as anything in your life that no longer serves you. And you notice that when you get rid of it, you feel a lot better. When you get rid of it, you feel a lot better. So it can be inanimate objects like piles of paper. It can be boxes of old mementos in the garage or in the closet. It can be an activity that works against you, that exhausts you, something that you do on a regular basis because you think you have to, and it really doesn't work for you. It could be people you spend time with who make you feel uncomfortable or bad about yourself. Should I say that again? Clutter can be ways of seeing the world. Clutter is the practice of self-armoring. Control can be a clutter kind of behavior, or self-criticism, or emphasizing what is wrong with you, or doing things to be liked, or needing to be right, or performing mental gymnastics to try to figure out or fit what other people think. All of those things, to Brooks Palmer, are kinds of clutter, some internal, some external. Clutter is anything that you don't love, that you are not inspired by, and that keeps you from opening your heart to yourself and others. And he makes a really interesting point that our reasons for clutter come from a very deep place. It lives within our subconscious. But he says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about exploring your subconscious. Just start dealing with the clutter. Just start dealing with the clutter. And I heard this really interesting thing on NPR about working with kids and the relationship between belief and behavior. And sometimes we try to change belief to affect behavior, but it also works to change behavior and it affects the belief. And so he's saying, start dealing with the clutter in your life at whatever level it is, and it will begin to shift and maybe dispel that which you have on the inner planes that is producing the clutter to begin with. And so I ask you, right off the top of your head, let your inner self show you where the first bit of clutter is in your life, external clutter that you need to deal with. Got it? Okay. And so now let your inner self show you the first piece of internal clutter that you need to deal with. Got it? All right. That's where you begin. That's where you begin. Very simply, one thing at a time. The question to ask, and I think it's mainly about external things, but it's about internal things too. Do I love and enjoy this? Is this thing that I could identify as clutter making my life a better place to be? If the answer is no, guess what? It's got to go. If the thing is not making your life a better place to be, then it doesn't deserve to be in your life anymore. And you can answer that about things, about relationships, about attitudes. If it's not serving the greater joy of your life, it's a good question as to whether it ought to be there. The next question, do I use this? Do I actually use this? All those journals that have all those blank pages in them. Do I actually use this or can I let it go? Do I use this? Can I let it go? Here's another one. If I were in a store today, would I buy this? If I were in a store today, would I buy this? If I met this person today, would we be friends? If I met this person today, would we be friends? Good question. And the whole point of that is to determine whether something is rightfully in your life now. Is it actually a part of your life now in a way that adds to your livingness? Or is it something that really doesn't feel so right, but you keep it there for whatever reason? It's interesting, I was on a call today about all the global changes, and the phrase that came up was that we're in a time of multiple, nested, simultaneous breakdowns of unsustainable ways of thinking and living. I'll say it again. We're in a time of multiple, nested, simultaneous breakdowns of unsustainable ways of thinking and living. I think that's true, but I'm not talking about that tonight. I think we get into places in our life where if we really tell the truth, we realize that we are in multiple nested simultaneous breakdowns of unsustainable ways of thinking and living. That somehow we get to a place where our practices are unsustainable for us. We're not happy. The energy isn't flowing. More time and energy is spent avoiding that which we need to take care of than it is giving ourselves to what our life is really about. There couldn't be a better time of the year to do this work of handling this stuff because we're moving into the fall season, and I like the fall because it moves toward my time of the year, but there are two directions of the fall energy. One is to harvest. One is to take time to actually look at, you know, the past year from the last fall to now and see all of the things that you've done and that you've achieved and that you've attained, and all the ways in which you have gained knowledge and all the fruit you have grown, so to speak, and all the good that you have done, and actually harvest it and bring it to your heart. And just take some time and say, wow, I did that. I did that. May not have met all your expectations, but you have spent a year doing good. Each one of you here is a spiritual person seeking to live a life of love and good on the planet and seeking to contribute to others. I know this about you. You wouldn't be here otherwise. And so there's much about your life and much you have done that is ready for harvest to be appreciated and to be appreciated by your heart. The other piece of the energy is to cut away what no longer serves. And in the Native American tradition, this is the west direction. Is that right? Yes, the west direction of the medicine wheel. And the stone is obsidian, which creates a very sharp edge. It's a volcanic glass, and it's used to cut away wounds, cut to clean out wounds. So this is a great time to clean out, to cut away, to let go of anything that does not serve the greatest degree of livingness for you. And I realize that this is intense. Thank goodness we had a chant about compassion. So when you start dealing with that pile of papers, you can start chanting Om Tare Tutare, right? On and on, having compassion for that. But this is a great time to do the work of cleaning out and cutting away. Clutter busting, according to Brooks Palmer, is not about becoming a better person. It's not about that at all. It's about actually getting extraneous stuff out of the way to reveal the beautiful and wonderful person that you already are. That you already are and that you have always been. And he says that if you will take a kind and honest look at your clutter inside and outside, naturally, that's kind and honest. I'm like kind first and honest. Naturally, you will start letting go of the things that don't serve you, that do not serve the real truth of who you are. The goal here is to make room for the highest idea of your life. And it's really hard to let in the highest idea when the channels are blocked, when the energy isn't flowing, when there's stuff in the way of what it is that you truly want. He says you will find that your uncluttered natural self contains an innate happiness, an innate happiness. And so I invite you to close your eyes. And I invite you just to direct your breath into your heart center. As you feel the wheel of the breath turn, breathing all the way to the top of the inhale and all the way to the bottom of the exhale. And at the center of the wheel, feel the heart of God and let the heart of God merge with your own heart. As once again you breathe into your heart center and contact there the indwelling presence, your higher wisdom self, that sees with the eye of wisdom that is also the eye of love. And I invite you to let rise up into your awareness your very good qualities. The good qualities in you that perhaps go unnoticed by others. These may be large or small things, but they're special to you and they're individual to you. It may be how insightful you are, how observant, how kind. It may be how you think, your creativity, how you extend yourself to others. How you always mix love into your words. But whatever are your very unique and special and good qualities, let them come up in your awareness now. And just breathe. and in making a home for these in your heart. Is there anything in your heart that needs to be released, that is in the way of you absolutely getting this wonderful and good truth of who you are? And know that that's a first piece of internal clutter release work to do. And if it's an attitude or a memory or a habit or even a person, you can look at that thing or that one and say, I love you, I acknowledge you, I forgive you, and I release you. Let's say that out loud together. I love you, I acknowledge you, I forgive you, and I release you. And one more time. I love you, I acknowledge you, I forgive you, I release you. And now with these wonderful qualities at home in your own heart, I invite you to think of the spaces in your life, your home, your workspace, your friends. And with the good of you firmly inside of you, just see what space is like around you. Is energy freely flowing? Or is there some energy blockage in your external environment? And just let your inner self reveal any place where you need to do some releasing work. And once again, that phrase, I love you, I acknowledge you, I forgive you, and I release you. And imagine what it would be like to be a free, happy, healthy being, flowing with energy, sensitive to life, open, at home in the heart, rolling, creating with all that takes place. And so I do accept that there's something of value that has been said and received here that supports us in, first of all, living deeply at home in our hearts and also making welcome there the greatest good that we can imagine. And with loving thanks, I release this word. Together we say, and so it is. Amen. And here, Anton and Laura.